budget. And if we help, if we accomplish the goal of achieving the budget for the food pantry, the microfarm has a small, smaller GoFundMe for projected costs we're incorporating as a non-for-profit, and we'll be purchasing an insurance, policy, a liability insurance policy, to be able to expand our offerings next year to the community involving children and youth. So we expect that there'll be a cost for purchasing that policy, of course. But really focusing on helping the food pantry achieve their budget, because their needs are immediate, and it's getting colder. It's just going to get colder in the Northeast. So we want to keep them going.
So the best thing people could do is come out Saturday and meet everybody and become a volunteer for next year.
Yeah.
And you can also go online and maybe give out those websites again and make donations at GoFundMe pages online too if you can't be there in person Saturday.
Exactly. And both of our websites are very informative about the ways in which you can get involved. So even if you can't make it on Saturday at all, and you aren't able to donate at this time, but you do still want to know more, ccmicrofarm.org has our contact info, has our...
Hello, I'm Neil Allen from Hudson, New York. You're listening to WGXE Acra 90.7 FM.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Greene County reported 8 more cases of coronavirus October 15th, and Columbia County reported 1 more. There have been recent outbreaks or clusters at the Ghent Rehabilitation and Nursing Center and the Greene County Correctional Facility in Coxsackie. Greene County reported 8 of 385 test results announced October 15th were positive, about 2%. If that number keeps up much longer, Governor Andrew Cuomo could install lockdown rules again in Greene County. There have been recent cases reported in Greenville and Catskill schools and in the Greene County office building in Catskill. Ichabod Crane, Chatham, and Hudson schools have also reported cases since reopening. Columbia County reported its first COVID-19 death in over 4 months on October 14th, the 38th resident to have died since the pandemic began. Health officials have been pleading with citizens to wear masks, keep 6 feet apart, and wash their hands regularly, with Greene County sending out robocalls and emails on October 14th and many social media posts too. In Rensselaer County, there have been 5 residents at its Van Rensselaer Manor nursing home who tested positive for coronavirus this week, according to the Times Union. And County Executive Dan McCoy said October 15th, Albany County COVID cases are approaching April peaks with 27 new cases. McCoy told the Times Union, and I quote, "As we look where we were, our numbers are spiking back up. We don't know what it is. We're trying to figure it out. I can't explain it," end quote. McCoy, not knowing where the COVID is coming from, may explain how 5 members of his extended family have recently been diagnosed with the disease, possibly from a recent family party. Diane Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper. The town of Copeg will receive $21,000 to help pay expenses related to the town's interest in dealing with Hegate Energy's proposal to build an industrial-sized 60-megawatt solar facility in Caryville. The Hegate's Shepherd Run plan calls for the installation of 200,000 solar panels on 500 acres inside a 900-acre project area. The facility will be located near the County Route 7 and State Route 23 intersection. Most of that land is now used for farming. During the October 8th town board meeting, Deputy Supervisor Richard Wolf reported the presiding administrative law judge ruled the town is eligible to receive the full $21,000 in intervener funds. Hegate has applied for the project under a state public service law Article 10 proceeding instead of going before the town planning and zoning boards. Wolf explained that Article 10 requires a developer to provide the funds to help interested parties, and I quote, "defray the considerable expenses incurred as they evaluate a developer's proposal," end quote. The funds will make it possible for the town to pay for the services of its solar issue attorney and environmental engineering firms. The funds are available until Hegate files an application for the Shepherd's Run project with the state sitting board. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. In a tour of development sites in the region recently, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul toured the multi-million-dollar project in downtown Coxsackie, calling the project, and I quote, transformative, end quote. Hochul said of the South Street River Development Project in downtown Coxsackie, and I quote, I see a lot of projects around the state, and I can tell you right now, this is spectacular, end quote. Local developer Aaron Flatch received a $2 million grant from Empire State Development to fund the Wire Wedding and Event Center and the Newberry Hotel, which are phase one of the multi-phase project. The project, which will ultimately bring the wedding and event center, high-end hotel, spa, restaurants, storefronts, and apartment building to the South River Street area, is projected to drive economic development in the area. IDA Executive Director Renee Van Schaak said that in addition to state grant funds, the project received tax incentives from the Greene County Industrial Development Agency, including a sales and use tax exemption, mortgage tax exemption, and a payment in lieu of taxes or pilot agreement. The Wire takes its name from State Wire and Cable, the company that once occupied the building. Developer Flatch said the Newberry Hotel is named after James Newberry, the building's original owner when it was a machine shop in 1903. The facility is expected to open in June 2021, along with a new restaurant to be housed in the former Patrick Henry's Tavern. And you can read the full story in the Ravenna News Herald. Noah Zweifel is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise on the tentative 2021 budgets prepared by the towns of Bern, Knox, and Westerlo in Albany County. In Bern, property taxes are down and salaries are up in its tentative 2021 budget. The highway superintendent is scheduled to receive a 12.6% raise, the building inspector a 23% raise, and the code enforcement officer a 24% raise, in addition to a property tax decrease of more than 13%. The suggested decrease in the tax levy comes despite an almost $156,000 drop in county sales tax revenue. Supervisor Sean Lyons could not be reached for comment, but the potential 13% tax decrease is believed to be the result of reduced expenses, including maintenance supplies for buildings, computer equipment, the highway buildings account, the town park account, and the garbage charges. Tax rates were steady in the town of Knox, tentative $2.2 million budget for 2021, which also projects higher revenues and higher spending. Tentative spending plan with no tax levy increase must be adopted by November 20th after a series of town workshops. The draft spending plan was crafted by town supervisor Valicio Lefkadidis. Lefkadidis said, and I quote, we have worked extremely hard over the past 5 years, micromanaging our budget by reducing expenses, holding vendors accountable, negotiating purchases, and accounting for every penny, and it has paid off, end quote. Total spending will increase by $22,000, while revenue, aside from property taxes, is projected to increase by nearly $51,000, and sales tax revenue is expected to total $930,000, about $78,000 less than last year. Westerlo's 2021 tentative budget features big changes, with a revenue loss of more than $200,000 and a nearly 6% property tax increase that covers what could not be saved through expense reductions. The tentative $2.9 million budget is a first draft. Supervisor William Bitsterman said, and I quote, there's no doubt that the coronavirus has impacted our town, and certainly you can't deny the downturn in the state's economy and the corresponding sales slump, end quote. The sales tax revenue projected totals $950,000 compared to last year's anticipated income of $1.25 million. The preliminary spending plan reflects a decrease in allocations totaling almost $135,000, including two highway departments layoffs, reductions in employee mileage reimbursement, office supplies, museum contractual expenses, and more. You can read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Positive or negative? In this podcast, I will also be trying to implement some advocation for my fellow students and school staff worldwide, because everyone could use some advocation here and then. Now, without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, you wonderful people. It's your host, and this week I'm bringing to you, I do not know what week of school this is, and I do not know what number podcast this is, to keep it real, but, you know, just some updates on how I'm doing in school right now. My grades, they're kind of like, okay, so they're not bad, but they're not as good as I wanted them, so I'm not going to let that discourage me like I did last year, because that did result in a bad outcome. So, you know, I'm keeping up positive energy about it. I'm gonna like stay after school and stuff, and you know, try to get those grades up. So also, I did post a poll on my Snapchat. Let me just read to you what it the question was. Not the yeah I guess the question yes what the question was The question was, what kind of advocacy could you use right now during school? So I got a few responses. I didn't get as many as I like would normally get, because I did post it only a day before the podcast. So, but that's good though. These responses are pretty good. So I can go over these. And I also have Phoebe here with me on Skype if you want to say what's up.
Hey, y'all. Hey.
So like this first response says mental health. And the second one also ties with that. It says help for college and mental health help. So, okay. And this one said, personally, I think I need more creative outlets and help on behind work. As do I. But I definitely think the school should give kids more mental support, because nothing in life is set up for us or... Oh, I'm sorry. Nothing in life has set us up for this, and I'm pretty sure we're all losing our minds. Yeah, I relate to that. I was kind of losing my mind in the first, like, second to third week of school online, but I've kind of adopted the attitude to be a little bit different, but I do relate to this response, and I definitely think that the school should support kids more mental support. This one has two parts, this response. The first part is definitely want mental health checks. A big part of us doing well in school relies on the state of our mental health, and they need to realize that with everything going on in the world right now, it's hard for us to drop everything and, second part, focus on school. We're stressed and anxious, and nobody's telling us how to deal with these feelings. I think school systems everywhere need to realize that we're not machines. We're just kids, bro. What do you think about this, Phoebe?
Ooh, that hits me hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, every person brought up mental health. That's really striking. Mm-hmm. It makes me really respect how actually introspective and self-aware young people are, even though they don't get credit for it. Mm-hmm. And it I think there's a relationship between, right, like people being naming, oh, creative outlets or something that could help. And like, I think schools, it's not like schools were set up to necessarily be great mental health service providers,
but they were the place where you were empowered to like figure out how to tend your mental health in some ways, right? Like there was, you could go do different things or have different outlets or get out of the house, and like it could bring its own mental health challenges. Yeah. But it definitely makes sense that it's a void. And also I just like that, I hear like a plea almost in this that's like, can y'all just like recognize we're humans struggling alongside you in this unknown time. And we're like, we're not adults even, you know, and you're holding us to extraordinarily high expectations of show up when most people like are still off work or whatever. It's a big ask. And like, I think schools, it's almost like everyone knew this was coming and has been talking about it, but it doesn't feel like anything actually really changed to hold you.
And this line, like, it says, well, it's the same comment, but I'm just like quoting some of it. We're stressed and anxious and nobody's telling us how to deal with these feelings. Yeah, because like, you know, they're just kind of expecting you're just gonna like deal with it and be okay with it. I have a health teacher, like she's aware like that students could use help in those aspects, like stress and anxiety wise. So she's just like, oh, just let me know, stuff like that. But like that's kind of harder on an online thing. Like if you're doing schooling online, reaching out to a health teacher, like she's really good in that aspect, but like I don't think that's like, I don't know, like some kids would just think that's way, not like doing too much, but like they're already on the computer enough as it is. So for them to have interaction again online to like speak about how they're feeling, I just don't think they're up for that. Like it's just like draining.
Yeah, it's a great point. Because I do feel like there are people available to provide some services and supports. It's always the connection that's hard. So I appreciate you bringing that perspective in, right, of maybe that would be accessible. We're already so tapped out. The thought of spending like another 2 hours online to do that is daunting.
Yeah.
Are there other things with internet, you know, communication? Like, is it just too distant to feel comfortable talking about mental health stuff? Or like, I don't know, like, what do you think keeps youth from plugging into that?
If you're home and you want to reach out to someone about your mental health, if you're around family, you might not want to talk about that around your family. So you don't want to like log online on a Google Meet and tell someone how you're feeling when your family's sitting like right next to you in the living room. So that can be like really uncomfortable. I know I wouldn't want to. So
yeah,
definitely that.
So as always, these like moments bring me into thinking about advocacy and that piece of your mission. We've been really lucky, I think, that the Clubhouse has been able to have some in-person connection still. So it's like makes me think about that might be a space, right, that is different, that's not online, that a person could come and try to plug in. I know that there's something starting up soon with like Ebony's looking to kick off sort of a more one-on-one direct, like she's thinking of it kind of in a mentorship framework, but like having more of a support system for people. And I think she mentioned that she talked to you like a year ago about this, but that it's like kind of coming back around as something that feels important on Sundays as like a drop-in space for people to come and get some support. And I'm curious too, like when y'all, you know, like, I don't know, from your perspective, when you're naming like stress or anxiety or seeing stress or anxiety or depression showing up in your peers, what kind of supports do you think are actually what, like, what different types of supports are needed? You know, is it a counselor? Is it just a safe space to go hang out? Is it, like, what are the different things that actually make a difference in that?
Well, one, a safe place. So, like, you can, like, get away from that stuff that's making you depressed, anxious, stressed, and all that other stuff. Because, like, if you're, like, in that environment, like, all the time, 24/7, like, it can be very, like, detrimental to your mental state and your mental health. So, that. And I think a therapist would help. Like, for me, I feel like if I had a therapist, I'd be, like, a lot like I'd be doing a lot better. But like, here's the thing, like with therapists, like some people might not feel like that comfortable to like speak about everything because there's not that like close connection. Like here at the clubhouse, I can tell anybody like I can tell anybody anything because like, you know, I have a connection with everybody here, so I trust everybody here. Like with a therapist, like that you don't know, it can be hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it would help. Like even if you came down here over to the clubhouse and you like built mm-hmm. a connection with someone and talk to someone about it, like they help. So,
all right, well that's on our, I think on our mission task list, right? Is to see if you get a counselor, a therapist who can like offer hours at clubhouse mm-hmm. in a private place, quiet place. And I know we were doing some research because, there was some advocacy happening over the summer that trying to get that in. And one of the big issues that came up is like, is it possible for us to get access to those services without having to have our parents give permission? For the mm-hmm. same reason you were saying, you probably don't want to take that call in the house, right? Like you don't want to necessarily have to tell your family that's what's going on. Or who knows what reason, right? Whatever reason, it's yours to manage. So that was the piece. So I hear that. I'm glad to hear that that's something that would be supportive. And it seems like it's really critical. Yeah. To your point about like your therapist is somebody who's like, outside, like you may not be able to drop in with everything. My experience with my therapist, and I love having every other week, my therapy session, 1 hour is the best. highly advocate for anybody who can access it to do it. And what I like about it is actually the fact that it's like kind of a step removed from the people who really know me. You know, in some ways it means there's somebody who can be a little more neutral. Mm-hmm. And if a counselor is doing what they're supposed to be doing, it's less about them having to hear all the things, all the drama, like talk therapy sort of like things that people do. Mm-hmm. It's not really that. What they're really there to do is to help provide different tools and techniques for you to manage your mental health as you want to, right? Mm-hmm. To recognize like where there might be something that's blocking you or keeping you from getting to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Like my therapist walked me through this really cool sort of like self-assessment to do when I feel angry, because I was like really noticing my anger was flaring and I was like having physical responses that were really strong and like just wanted to check in with myself. So she was like, all right, like let me break it down for you. Like anger shows up, like first you ask yourself a question, like what etiquette or like what thing, what wrong, like what is this root of why I feel angry, like what's been wronged here, right? And then like ask yourself the question, like, you know, is that something I need to hold on to actually? Like, is that a value that serves me? Is that something I should be mad about? And like, if the answer is yes, they're like, okay, now who's this person who I'm angry at who stepped over the line? Like, are they somebody who it's worth like getting into it with, right? And if they're close to you, then the answer might be yes, right? Because you want them to know like, hey, this hurt me and I love you, so can you show up different?
Yeah.
Versus someone who's like just said something stupid and you don't know them and you're in the grocery store and it's like, you know what, I don't need to like burn my energy on you. So yeah, anyway, like it's just an example, right? But it's sort of like given practical tools, and like she doesn't know all the ins and outs of the complexities of my anger and what it's all made out of necessarily, right? But she can just kind of hear me bring stuff up and give me some practical tools and things. So that's why I like having those sessions, and to me it doesn't replace the need then for also having my people who know me and who I can drop in and say anything to, and like that's more to me like mentorship or peer support or just like good friendships, right? What Clubhouse does, like we're not professional mental health service providers, but like we're Clubhouse, like we come together, this is our house, we look out for each other. It's more like that vibe. So I think both things together is like the ideal combination.
Like even me with like peer support, like if you were to come to me, like I'm not a therapist, but like I can like probably try to relate, so like, you know, you aren't alone, or even just like listen, because like some people just like need to like say stuff so it's not inside all day, and like you can just know like it's not like going anywhere, it's gonna stay confidential and stuff like that. So
if someone wanted to get in touch with you or get on the show to talk about what's going on, is there a way for them to do that?
Yeah, you could email me at schooldurincorona@gmail.com. schooldurincorona@gmail.com. And if you want to, like, get more, I wouldn't say fast connection, but, like, I don't know, a little bit of a more, like, immediate response, you can email me from my Instagram. It's Black Flourishment, but, you know, if you email me from my Instagram, that will give you a more immediate response. So, yeah. And you also send me some links of articles about reconsidering discipline during the pandemic for schooling.
Yeah, I was I love radio. I was listening to the radio today. I was listening to NPR, and there's this show called 1A, and they do sort of like topical news coverage and in-depth stories on topical like kind of issues. So yeah, I was listening to the segment. It was about school discipline during the pandemic. And I mean, I've done a lot of research and a lot of like advocacy around what was already a really problematic school discipline sort of approach. Like over the last 10, 15 years, there's been a huge shift toward really punitive responses, kind of like three strikes, you're out kind of rules, higher rates of suspension, higher rates of out of school suspensions, and the most kind of egregious thing is like an ever increasing presence of law enforcement and the police in school discipline issues, all the way down to like elementary school students, right? Like having 5-year-old kids actually have like police intervene on them because they're having like temper tantrums, like really kind of terrifying way to think about how to handle, like, especially as we're talking about mental health, right? Young people
Recently, a cop, they like handcuffed and was saying all these like sayings to a 7-year-old boy who had like autism in school. He was having like a fit or something. So it was like sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like egging him on and stuff. I'm like, mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. And in this segment, what they were, the first they kind of opened and they were telling the story about this fourth grader who's he has ADHD and like a couple other like learning challenges already, like the school knew about, right? Like this kid had been in their system already, like so like switching to online learning is hard for everybody. His mom was like, hey, it's been challenging, but we've been there for it. And she was saying that he was getting disciplined because the teacher was making all the students put their masks on, even though they were home online. Just kind of boggles the mind. And then I guess at some point he pulled out a Nerf gun, like he had his toys around, fourth grader, right? Kid. He's Black. And this is in Maryland, I think it was. And the school, they saw what had happened. They talked to the mom, who was like, oh, like, I'm so sorry. He had his toy with him. Like, I like recognized that like he shouldn't have his toys on the thing, like took it away, was like totally there for the conversation. And then she gets a call 3 hours later and like the police are coming to investigate the incident. And just, yeah. And then later they caught on body cams that the school administrators and the police had been like laughing about it and sort of mocking it and be like, oh yeah, maybe it's loaded, should we be worried? And so it was like sort of like the shocking,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, shocking. And now she's actually actively writing legislation at the state level in Maryland that's designed to sort of like respond right now to pandemic school discipline issues and just like changing how that can happen. Like she's not busy enough already trying to keep her kid in school, but now you got to go write laws to keep her kid safe. But yeah, so that really struck me. And then what really also struck me in the article was in the radio bit was they were talking about how a lot of teachers are sort of responding to this moment with like doubling down, like even more sort of strict discipline, 3 strikes, you're out sort of stuff than they would normally in school, which is just so curious given like I guess it's like a panic control response to online learning. Mm-hmm. But it just feels so antithetical to what young people need right now. So, yeah, just want to bring it up because I wanted to bring it up on the show because I think there's a lot of things to find yourself potentially getting disciplined for. And yeah. In this moment in time, and the stakes are high when there's more CPS involvement or police involvement or the ability for them to come to your home. Like that was a big thing with the legislation. She was trying to have more protections for privacy at home. Mm-hmm. And not being able to be told what do you have to wear at home? It's the person who got in trouble for not wearing shoes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hear these stories and they're so mind blowing that it's easy to almost dismiss them as those are just extreme examples. That's not the norm, but that's what people always say about.
Yeah, exactly.
What's up?
It's so frustrating. I don't understand that thought process. Oh my God, dude, they're doing this and that, but don't worry about it. It's not affecting you. And it's not even it's a big deal. Shoes, a toy gun with a 4-year old. It's ridiculous. So I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I want to, but I don't. I feel the cops shouldn't be involved in the school anyways. They're not doing anything but causing uncomfortability. So, and now with the corona going on, online schooling, they're coming to people's houses for dumb stuff like that. It's just they're mm-hmm. bored. They don't have anything to do. What were you saying though?
I was going to ask you a question, which is, to me, it seems what matters is can you focus during class? And it's what do you need your classmates? Do you have issues with your classmates, distracting you, being problematic in school? How do your online classes flow?
They flow pretty easy besides sometimes in algebra, his book isn't always in frame with the camera, and it gets annoying every time trying to tell him that, so I just don't even do it anymore. And sometimes the Wi-Fi will go in and out, so his screen will show the book, and then 2 seconds after that it won't show the book, it'll show his profile picture, and then a second later back and forth. That's not every day, but that's sometimes, and it gets frustrating because I miss notes and then I don't understand the lesson. So then I get distracted sometimes. I'll look at my phone and I'll look off to the side, what's happening out of the window and stuff like that. So
it doesn't seem that really has anything to do with whether or not your fellow peers are wearing a mask or shoes on their camera during class. So it seems your experience is totally just connected to what the teacher's doing. Mm-hmm. So do you have the ability to chat and are y'all see each other on video during class?
Yeah, we see each other in video and we can chat in the chat box with the teacher, but I've never seen anybody have a conversation with another student in the chat box, so mm-hmm. I don't know what that thing is, if there's a policy against that, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that came up in the radio segment. It was teachers talking about their different policies with Zoom and mm-hmm. and trying to figure that out. But so school discipline just feels one of the really important things for our community to just pay attention to. And I am worried about youth just sort of slipping through the cracks. And a suspension. I mean, here's the other thing too. That kid, that was the thing, the fourth grader who that incident happened was suspended for 5 days from all online learning. And I listened to what you tell me about your coursework. If you had to miss 5 days of online class, would you ever catch up?
I would not. Mm-mm. No. If I did, no, actually no. Cause while you're trying to get that done, everything else is going behind. I would not come back from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. It'd be good for us to maybe be tracking on the show if suspensions are happening actually in Catskill or the other high schools with online learning. I don't know if you've heard about that at all, but
no, I'm going to reach out on my Snapchat to my my peers at the school and ask if any of them got in trouble for anything stupid, if the teacher like requested like something that's dumb or whatever, or not reasonable, stuff like that, to see what's going on, because I haven't been aware of that. So
yeah, all right, we'll report back to y'all on the next school during Corona. Definitely. It's happening locally on this issue. Mm-hmm. Speaking of local issues, you had some tea to spill, which is no longer secret.
I think on Monday, which was Monday, they announced that a teacher in a high school had Corona and a teacher in elementary school had Corona, and they delayed school. Instead of the hybrid starting on Tuesday, it started today. So I don't think a 2-day delay is gonna do anything, but I guess we can see where that goes. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they're taking a cautious approach, to be honest. And 2 days is probably the amount of time they need to do contact tracing for that employee, would be my guess. Because that's like the typical way a situation gets handled, right? It's like a case shows up and then you got to interview that person and figure out who all they were in space with and then reach out to all those people, right? And do those contacts. And the sooner that can happen, the sooner you can keep a case from becoming an outbreak. So I'm glad they're doing, you know, taking a minute and doing that. And then, you know, the article I sent you, there was something in the Hudson Valley 360 about that. Schools around have also had a couple instances and different responses. Like the school that did a case, I think it was Hudson, but they didn't change anything in terms of what they were doing. Because I think the student had online, like they hadn't been in contact with anyone. So, you know, every school, like, I guess the punchline is cases are going to pop up. Like, it's reality. It really comes down to how well New York City, the schools are doing it. When that happens, immediate contact tracing and testing and, you know, response, and that doesn't become an outbreak. So, I don't know, how does it make you feel? Like, are you nervous about it at all?
I'm not nervous because it's kind of selfish, but I'm not nervous because I know it's not going to get back to me. But, I do appreciate that they, like, did, like, say, like, no school on Tuesday, which was the day after. Like, instead of being like, oh, just be, like, you can come in, just be, like, extra careful. No, they didn't do that. So I do appreciate that. It's more like they're like trying to get in a rush to like get back into school because of the 2 days. They could have at least waited till this Tuesday or this Monday that's about to come up. But you know, I'm not doing hybrid, so I guess I don't really feel the need to rush back into school versus the kids who are doing hybrid. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be curious as another poll, maybe just get a sense of like how nervous people like to do in hybrid actually are about catching COVID. Like I'm curious.
The kids who are doing hybrid, you know, they log into the Google Meet as well, so everybody can see each other. A few of the teachers do show the students, and they are, like, spread out well, and they are all wearing their masks, and they
That's do great.
Have to, like, use hand sanitizer when they, like, enter the room, and, like, when the class ended, they were like, if you're, like, here, like, hybrid, wipe off your desk and chairs with Lysol and stuff like that, so...
That's great. All right, cool. And like, you know, I think the hybrid model they've set up makes a ton of sense, right? Because you cut the number of, like, cut in half how many people are in, like, you split into two pods, so you're minimizing the potential, like, how many people are potentially in the same space. Yeah. And the way they did it with 2 days on and then a day to do a deep clean and then, like, another 2 days on, it's like, all right. because I sometimes got questions like, how well do those classrooms get cleaned after every night? Mm-hmm. You know, but like if they're actually taking a whole day off with no students just to do the cleaning, which is how they described it for Catskill, I'm like, okay, that's pretty solid. Yeah, so it's like, all right, they're doing the best they can, right? Yeah. With the situation in terms of giving y'all options. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So when is delay just 2 days, right?
Yeah, it's started today.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Oops, sorry, excuse me. I was going to bring up something. What was it?
Give yourself a song break.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. While I'm finding something to put on, let me just try to remember what I had. It was something to do with students in school. Yeah, I'm not too sure. Okay, let's look at this. Okay, guys, I'm going to be right back. I'm going to get my thoughts together, and I'll be back after the song break. Give me a second. Okay, I remember what I was talking about. During those 2 days, the break, not the break, because we did have online schooling still, but all the teachers were required to teach at home, so they were being extra cautious about that too. So that was like, it was kind of like a thing to me of them saying like, we are taking this very seriously. Which they are, and I kind of applaud them because, like, I said this last podcast, I didn't expect Catskill to, like, be the school to, like, take this very seriously, which they are. So that's very appreciated for me. And, this is kind of off topic, but my English teacher, she had, her child with her, and he was, like, just so adorable. He's like, she's like, say hi to the class. Everyone was like, hi. It was like it was new. It was nice. Everybody had a good time in that day in the class. It was really fun. But I was gonna speak about also other than that like the parent situation. I just kind of brought that up out of nowhere because I forgot. The other thing I was going to talk about after that, what I was talking about, what the parent situation, like, I guess we could just talk about that. Like, the parents being on the kid's back about online schooling, that can be pretty annoying, because, like, I know my mom's not on my back, but she's on my, like, brother's back. He's not doing online schooling, because he knows he's not going to, like, be able to focus and stuff. But she's like on his back about him like getting to school in the morning and making his bus and stuff, and that can like cause a lot of annoyance. So I kind of imagine like the annoyance it would cause like online when your parents like on your back like, oh, get on at this time, get on that time, and like just, I know the parents are trying to like do it for like the best interest of their child, but they kind of have to understand that, you know, the child kind of has to be independent, and you know, having your parent on your back 24/7, just it just gets annoying. Like, it's different coming from a teacher, but your parent, that can just get annoying because they're always telling you what to do here and there and then, not here and there and then, like pretty much every second of the day. So what do you think about children's parents trying to like be involved 100% in their life?
I did go to a school where my mom was a teacher at the school, so I did have that like weird experience, mm-hmm. but it's still like having that, like, you know, like literally could be in the room like, are you doing your homework? Are you paying attention? What's your next thing? Are you in class? Like, yeah, that sounds like kind of stressful. And school, I think, is a place where you would go to learn how to like create your own sense of identity and agency mm-hmm. and like autonomy outside of the home. So like, for sure, if like you're not getting that and that's like up in your space and you're trying to learn, I totally hear you that like parents should just check in with themselves about that, should like give themselves a minute to be like, okay, my kid doesn't have the same sort of outlets to be themselves, to get a space away from mom and dad or like mm-hmm. whoever the hell, you know, is at home. But, you know, can I help create that sense for them or like respect that, like, you know, but like we talked about earlier, the stakes are really high, not just for like young people, but for their parents.
Yeah.
That schooling goes well. So I'm also not mad at parents for being concerned and wanting mm-hmm. to check in.
Yeah.
I think, you know, my question for you is like, what is the right balance and how can youth set themselves up better to like, be like to have that independence, you know, like what do you have to do on your end to keep your to keep it so that you're respected as being able to handle it on your own?
I'd say just like show that you can take care of it, like log in every morning, do what you gotta do, show up on time so there's no emails from the school, your child showed up late this here and then, because then that like activates the like worry and concern in the parent. So just log in on time, be there, you know, obviously, like, with the exception of having, like, a bad internet connection, you know, being there on time. But also, like, I know this is hard because I'm having a hard time with this myself, but hand in your working time because my teachers have been, like, emailing my mom and stuff, like, oh, they should, like, get their work in, their grade isn't, like, the best. But, like, my grades aren't that bad. Like, I'm still passing all my classes, you know, they're just not, like, high up in the 90s or like 80s, 70s. So I'm trying to get the 70s up to 80s right now. But yeah, get your work in on time or try to. Log in on time. Pretty much all I can say right now. I haven't really pushed my sorry.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I mean, I really feel too for like, if you can't literally have a door closed or your own space, like, and you don't really have control over that.
Yeah.
So I imagine that would be really difficult. That's where I think about, like, can you be empowered to find other places to do your schoolwork? You know, Clubhouse is a space where, like, there are some daytime hours, you know, that we can make work. If you need us, like, different place, just be online and do your class.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know where libraries are at right now, but I know that's something that keeps coming up with us too. But it's like, you know, also empowering yourself to try to like problem solve. Like, if that's something that's hard for you, like, are there other safe places that you can go and do your classwork? And like dialogue, you know, be in a conversation. Like, I think right now it feels like so many different, everyone's struggling. Everyone has a lot at stake. And it's sad to me to see kind of like different groups of people get pitted against each other, like parents and their kids at war with each other, even though like they're both struggling with the same sort of problem. Yeah. And like, or teachers and students getting pitted against each other, even though like they're both responding to like what the school administration says has to happen. Yeah, it's like the more I think everyone can just take a deep breath and say, like, how can we help all of us get through this? Okay. The better the outcomes will be. And I hate that there's competing pressures that, you know, a teacher going more lax or like loosening up on like homework or internet hours to try to meet students where they're at, like then gives them issues on the back end because, you know, that's not what they're supposed to be doing. Or, you know, a teacher wants to tell their kid, like, wow, I see how much you're struggling and unable to do this classwork. Like, just why don't you just take a semester? You know, I think what college students can take a semester off and it's not like the end of the world. That's not true for high schoolers. Yeah, and no. It's a shame in some way. I guess technically you just like redo the grade. Like that does happen, but the consequences are really high. It's not something that's like socially accepted. And so it ends up with a lot of consequences, even though for some people that like, just might need to be what happens. It's, I don't know. It's like, you ever have that moment where you take a giant step back and like, look at and it's like, would the world really end if we just said like, we're taking a year off school? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it would. or like, we're going to do a whole year of experimental schooling and like get rid of all our testing requirements, or,
that'd be cool.
You know, just try totally to create new curriculums, like limit it. So their kids, you know, kids are only on the computer for 5 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Just try to do it different, like not say we're not going to provide anything because learning is important, but also just not be so attached to school having to be the thing it was always been. It's that sense of like we have to continue with normalcy that feels sad to me because these are moments that allow for some adaptation and for evolution in some ways. If we let them, because like school needed a shaking up anyway, let's be real. Definitely. Not like it was great before.
And it's like hard, like you have to like, they expect you to get all these good grades, but like, you have to like remember, like that response said, we aren't machines, so you have to learn 45 elements, you have to learn all this new vocab, you have to learn a new lesson in algebra every day. You have to, there's just so much stuff you have to learn, like shove it in, and they're expecting too much. Like, it's not healthy. So, I'm like, kind of going away from that real quick before we end this. The way teachers, I mean, I know it's the state, like they always say, but, you know, if you're like in the class, like on the Google Meet doing virtual, and like, let's say, for example, you just have your forehead showing or like half of your body, they're like, put your whole face in the camera, and like, I know it's not their fault, but like that gets annoying. I know a lot of students are annoyed of that too. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, that's why I asked you the question, like, what's actually distracting for you as a student? Like, is it distracting to you if a student's like their head half out, like, or like taps out of their screen?
It doesn't annoy anybody that I have class with. Like, they aren't concerned about what another person is doing in their screen. Like, what? Like, you. If you don't show your whole face, they have to mark you as absent, and that's like ridiculous. So if you were if you shown up to school every day, doing the virtual this year, if you have 100 in all your classes, scholar student, and you only showed your forehead or half your thing in the camera, and they like mark you absent for every day of the school year, then like, what's gonna happen then?
Yeah, that's kind of, it's another mind-boggling moment. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's like, what? They stop.
Are they actually doing that? That's the question, right? Like, maybe that's the policy. Are teachers actually doing that? And if they are doing it, who's actually the one who's like, who are they going after?
Yeah.
Like, this is the problem with school discipline too, is people want to deny that racism's real or that we have any sort of implicit bias, but the data don't lie.
Exactly.
And so when, you know, teachers are kind of teachers always have a little bit of flexibility, right, in whether they apply a rule or not. And like, the reality bears out over and over and over again. It's about 10 times more likely they'll use it with a black student than they will with a white student. Yeah. So the stakes are high. But yeah, like, hey, I super appreciate all the polling you're doing, because it gives us data, it gives us information about what is actually happening. Like, and I think we should reach out to the school maybe and ask for, like, do they have an online teacher, like, online school discipline policy, actually? I'd be curious about that.
I believe they do. And I can look into that and give us some update next week. I think they do have one. I'm not too sure. If they don't, like, it's, like you said, reach out and stuff. We'll reach out and get that information.
And if they don't, you know, there might be, this is, you know, I'm thinking about the story we were talking about at the very beginning, right? That the woman whose son had the you know, cops come because of what happened, and she's writing this legislation. There's this, a lot of time, because it's all new, a lot of these questions aren't necessarily answered, right? So the school might not have an online school discipline policy yet, and they're kind of arbitrarily trying to, that's a window of opportunity. If you were like, hey, there are 10 student voices who want to come together and inform how you think about online learning and how to increase the rates of engagement, right? Like, isn't that your goal? We can help you do that. You know, I think it's really important to feel empowered in these moments to be like, hey, this is how it should be done. This could be, you know, because otherwise who knows who's in the back room trying to figure that out. So it'd be great next week. Maybe we can get some other, we talk about what we know about it, don't know about it, get some polling data about what discipline stuff's actually happening with students, and then maybe start to do that advocacy piece of what should it look like, and figure out how to start to talk to the school about how they can hold y'all better.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that was a really good conversation. Like we said, we will update you guys next week on the school policy for online schooling. You know, if the students are facing unreasonable discipline for online, and you know, a lot of other things. And moving forward into the second week of hybrid, we'll see what's going on. If the students fear for the health of getting COVID, I will post the polls probably 3 days prior to the podcast, so we can get more responses from more students. So appreciate everyone tuning in. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at schooldurincorona@gmail.com, schooldurincorona@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next week. Bye bye.
Bye y'all.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we are made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. Cause cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful. We stars and we're beautiful. Oh, 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 oh. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful. We stars and we're beautiful. She has dreams to be an envy, so she's starving, you know. Cover girls eat nothing. She says beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. What's a little bit of hunger? I can go a little while longer. She fades away. She don't see her perfect. She don't understand. She's worth it. All that beauty goes deeper than the surface. Oh, oh. So to all the girls that's hurting, let me be your mirror. Help you see a